Pete Walker is the pitching coach of the Toronto Blue Jays, and I'm hoping that Pete Walker can explain to me why, without giving away state secrets, because my guess, Pete, is we may be seeing Aaron against the Orioles at least once more this year. Without giving away state secrets, why is Aaron Sanchez so comfortable against the Baltimore Orioles, and why does he have so much success?
Hey, well, first of all, it's great to be on with you guys. Sanchez, I'll tell you what, it's pretty obvious watching him right now because he's always been a ground ball pitcher, a contact pitcher. And guys pretty much are looking down on his own for that sinker. But he's made some adjustments, and he's elevating the fastball a little bit, so he's changing eyesight with these hitters. And it was evident last night with the strikeouts. He's never been really a strikeout guy, and I think over the course of the season we've seen him strike out probably more guys than we anticipated coming in. But I think that's a direct reflection of the elevated fastball. The secondary stuff getting a little bit better, and when you have a dominant fastball like he has, he can pitch against the same team five times and have success. I mean, it's that dominant, and the movement on that sinker is as good as anybody in the game.
See, I find that interesting because you talk about how dominant his fastball is, and the fact that he was able to make that adjustment in season. I mean, Pete, are we seeing more? Is it just your team, or are there other teams going more and more towards focusing on the four-seam fastball, especially with their young pitchers?
Yeah, I think there's a handful of teams that have, it seems like they've spent more time doing it, but I know we're one of them. I think it's taken Aaron out of his comfort zone a little bit at times early in the year, but I think he's certainly developed a knack for it. I saw him go upstairs, meaning up in the strike zone last night, quite a bit and effectively. And that, sometimes you see guys that aren't comfortable doing it when they try to elevate a fastball, it just takes off. You know, it's the catcher's reaching up for it. It's something they're not used to doing. It's been kind of ingrained in them to pound down in the zone. And to be able to go down in the zone and then to elevate is critical, I think. And I think there are a lot of outs up in the zone above the, at the letters, with major league hitters. And I think that's why at times, when Aaron does get hit around, I think it's because he's down on the zone so much, and major league hitters, they're like, some of your best hitters are low ball hitters, to be honest with you. And I think it's really important for him to be able to do that.
Yeah, Pete, now obviously, a person that doesn't study baseball or watch baseball all the time would think hearing a pitching coach say that pitchers need to go elevated fastball would think, well, why don't you do that from day one? Why don't you do that from April until now? Well, you don't usually see a lot of pitchers do that. It's more end of the season kind of thing where they're elevating fastballs. Can you explain why that is a little bit?
Well, I think it's just, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I mean, there's some guys that can do it right out of the gate that have been doing it. They're a little more comfortable doing it. The guys that are transitioning into that part of the game, like Aaron, it took a little bit longer, but it was something he's been working on. It's something that he's, been focused on doing because he knows there's some strikeouts up there. And again, the one drawback from that, you see him punch out 10, means that pitch count's going to be up there. And all of a sudden it's a six inning game. So for him, there's a little give and take there. But obviously, we're still, as a staff, we are still focused on early contact, forcing contact and minimizing, the pitch count so these guys can get deeper in the ball games. But if he can add some punch outs in when he needs it in certain situations, because I know that was kind of a knock, within the media, and just looking at his game, is that he was a contact pitcher and a ground ball guy and the strikeouts weren't really there. But I we knew he had it in him. And I think this is a big feather in his cap, I think, moving forward, where he can get that strikeout with that 96 mile an hour 14 fastball from the zone. And he can also sink it at 96 at the knees.
Yeah, now, obviously no Benoit in the seventh inning. That means Roberto Osuna is going to be huge for this team the next couple of days and in the playoffs. I think we forget how young Roberto Osuna is. We expect him to go out and dominate every time he takes the ball, and we forget. He's still a young guy. He's learning. We hate to say that out loud, but he really is. He's still learning. And the one thing I've seen the last couple of times, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but he seemed to be shaking off – the catcher more than he normally does. And You know, whenever I was a player, and I know you used to be a pitcher, and obviously now as a pitching coach, the more times you think about something, normally it's going to be wrong. And, you know, I hate to say that out loud, but it's true. The more you think about it, the more you're going to be wrong. Am I on something here, or is it just this time of the year and teams have seen him a lot and he's trying to make the perfect pitch?
Yeah, I think late in the year, you know, he's a young pitcher, and maybe, you know, it is a long season, you know, and we've seen him certainly unreal at times. And you know, I think maybe that fastball in the last several outings, maybe a couple of those outings, it's been down a click. But, you know, so we're trying to get him a break when we can, that's for sure, and keep him as strong as possible. But, you know, I think you see him shaking maybe a little bit more often. Just maybe he wants to go to that two-seamer a little bit more. You know, where he doesn't feel like he has a 97-mile-an-hour heater and it's 94, 95. He might want to use that two-seamer, or he might want to use the slider. So it's just a matter of him and Russ continuing to be on the same page. And Russ has done an unbelievable job with him. He knows him better than anybody. So I wouldn't put too much stock in that. I just think it's late in the year, and you know, Roberto can do a lot of things. You know, he can manipulate the baseball with the best of him as well. And if he thinks he needs a little more sink on the ball, or he needs to cut the ball a little bit, that's something he'll do to get outs. But, you know, certainly it's a long year. He's a young kid. This is a tough year for him. I mean, when you look at from start to finish, and he's handling it extremely well. And we just want to keep him as fresh as possible.
Yeah, we're spoiled, right, Petey, by watching him pitch every day.
Yeah
we are.
No doubt. I mean, his fastball command is impeccable. You know, he really, the one thing we talked about actually 2 days ago, is trying to utilize that changeup again a little bit more. He's fallen away from using it. And I think that's especially late in the season. If the fastball at times, it might be a game where it's not quite where it needs to be. You know, you need that secondary stuff. You need to have that changeup to keep him off balance. And I know he threw a real good one yesterday, but I'd like to see him maybe use that a little bit more. And that's something we'll continue to do.
Pete, the fact that Aaron Sanchez was able to have that type of game last night, and I'm going to say in his last regular season start, let's just for argument's sake, does that say to you that the six-man rotation has been a success? That basically getting Aaron to this point, that plan was a success?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever know. I just know, you know, thinking back to that without getting into it too much, is at the time it was what we needed to do for a lot of reasons that maybe you guys aren't aware of. But it was important to do that at that time for some health reasons, for some guys that were banged up. So it did make sense. It did give some guys a breather for maybe the stretch run, because I know our starting staff is as strong as it's been right now. I mean, I'm looking at Happ and Estrada. I'm looking at guys that were maybe, you know, scuffling a little bit at that time, physically and, you know, the long season, you know, maybe takes its toll. But so maybe it gave him a little bit of a breather. And, you know, in the end, maybe it's going to be important, you know, because they certainly look strong right now. Happ Estrada looked fantastic. You know, Liriano is, you know, hopefully gives us another great start tonight. Sanchez and Stroman are as strong as they were now as they were in the beginning of the season, to be honest with you, with their stuff. So, that is the ultimate goal, to have your starters strong at the end of the season and in a playoff position, and that's where we are.
Aaron, in addition to having a lot of success against the Orioles, if you look at his numbers in the American League East, and I know you make a lot of starts in the American League East because that's within your division.
Sure.
But he seems to be very comfortable facing teams from the American League East. Is there an explanation for that? Pete, does it just get to stuff?
It's, you know what, it's a desire. I mean, he actually thrives, and he wants the ball against every American League East team. Not that he's disappointed with pitching against anybody else, but he's excited about facing Baltimore and Boston and New York. He really is. And I think not that he needs to turn it up a notch, but he turns it up a notch mentally. Those teams, he just really, he wants the ball. He wants to pitch in big situations, and it's a brutal division. I don't think the American League East gets enough credit sometimes, especially for the pitchers that have to deal with it on a nightly basis. But he is exceptional, and his mindset right now is as good as anybody in the game. And he doesn't fear any lineup, that's for sure. And these lineups, when you look at Baltimore and Boston, they're just exceptional. There's no doubt. They're deep lineups. They're the best we face, you know, I feel, and we got to face them a lot. So, for him to want the ball against these teams is says a lot about him as a competitor.
Yeah. Now, Petey, have you had to cheerlead more because of the big change with the six-man rotation? Did I say that right? I guess it's cheerleading. Did I say that the right way? Because, you know, obviously it's not so much about mechanics. It's more about let's buy into it. You can do it. Go out there, rah, rah, let's go. Did you have to do more of that this year?
No, not really. I mean, these guys honestly they all knew the situation. There might have been some, you know, people maybe thought there was some grumbling, but really there wasn't. Uh-huh. I deal with you guys every day. Have great conversations with them. They understand the big picture, and sometimes, you know, everybody else doesn't. And obviously there are a lot of things that the media and the fans don't get privy to, I guess. You know, there are things that we're dealing with on a daily basis. So, but they've all been phenomenal. I really love this group of guys, from a starting staff, the relief corps, the guys we've had in there. I've been very fortunate to have guys that are professionals and do what they're supposed to do and work their tails off, and very fortunate in all of them. And I know I'm that might sound crazy, but it really is. This group's been very special, and they say and do the right things.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'll put you on the spot just a little bit. Obviously with no,
wait a minute. That's my job.
It is, but I'm going to do it a little bit too, because I can, you know, Petey's that good. Yep. With no Benoit in the seventh inning, you're going to have to, you know, manage and pitching coach a little bit more. And I'm going to guess it's Biagini and Cecil. Now, obviously Biagini is a better pitcher the more rest he has between outings.
Sure.
Now he may have to go three or four times in a row here down the stretch. How do you get him enough rest that he's effective in those spots? Or can you?
Well, you hope you've done that throughout the course of the year. I mean, this is the most important stretch. The guys have rallied. You know, Grilly's unbelievable down there, you know, making sure everybody realizes they need to do what they need to do in order to win these games and put us in a position to get to the postseason. So, you know, we got five games left, and that's how we're looking at it. And if someone can't go for some particular reason or they need a day, they'll come to us, we'll talk to them. And we'll do its best, that's for sure. You know, there are plenty of other guys that can step up. That was the premise of our pitchers meeting yesterday, was that, hey, you know, as brutal as it is and disappointing as it is not to have Benoit, there are certainly some other guys capable in this room right now. We got guys with 95 to 98 mile-an-hour fastballs. We have guys that have good enough secondary stuff. So, you know, between Cecil and Biagini, they certainly can fill that role for the time being. It is a loss, don't get me wrong, but we need to find a way to fill it and for the other guys to step up. You know, Feldman is certainly capable. You know, you got Schultz and Tapera. So we have guys that can get the outs. We might have to patch it together a little differently and obviously attack those innings differently, but – you know, we can't. Cecil has been, you know, Cecil for me is turning into the guy that we saw last year. So he's another guy that could really be huge for us right now.
Pete, we're going to let you run. I appreciate you doing this as always, and we'll see you at the park.
Great job, Petey.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take care.